Good morning, BBS folks. This is Minder Hout. I'm calling from Magalia, California. Actually, I'm just going to start the recording since we know we're all here.
This conference is being recorded.
Good morning and welcome. Listening to this, we appreciate you participating with this group of intention that we create every week here, every Sunday morning. It is February the 21st, 2016. This is, as usual, a simulcast with a conference call. We have a bunch of people on the phone line. I welcome all those on BBS Radio. We can't hear you. We can't see you. But great to have you.
We can feel you.
All right, good. We have our wonderful host, Winfrey, with his co-host, Terry Brown, here live on the call. And Win, ready or not, the mic goes to you.
Uh-oh, here we are. Now I can't even say this is February 21st. And Win and Terry in Sedona. Terry, are you there? Hello, Terry. For those that you are listening for the first time, Terry and I always do this at the beginning of the calls. It's part of our comedy routine. Earth to Terry, are you there?
Oh, yes. Okay. I got it unmuted, and here I am.
Right. Okay. Well, it was record time. Thank you very much. All right. So, every Sunday, we start from chaos and from nothing, and somehow it becomes something.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
And, you know, that's how the universe started. It started from nothing, and somehow it became something. When you start from nothing, you know, that's a very high place. And, you know, in Zen they call it no thing, clearing your mind. Because can you do that? Can you start anything from nothing? It's not easy, because your mind is rolling along. And it always has intentions, it has belief patterns, it has worries, concerns, and all of that is something. And somehow, you got to move from something to nothing, because nothing is the place to create from. You create from nothing, and then you build upon it. And according to our information, every moment, the universe is giving birth to itself. It doesn't exist in the future or the past. It just gives birth in the moment. And when it gives birth, it takes into consideration everyone that's in it and all their thoughts and all their ideas. So they become part of the birth. And the more people that can move into that birth, the faster the universe would evolve, okay? Because the universe is made up of a bunch of independent consciousnesses, like you and me. And we are all on this movement of evolution and self-awareness and grasping what our sources call the law of one. And we're learning how to use each other. You know, using each other is not bad. It's good as long as there's free will. Terry, you're breathing into the mic.
Oh, yes. Okay.
You know, free will is one of the foundational principles of the sources we work with. Free will meaning they choose to do things, they don't have to do anything. We choose to do things, we don't have to do anything. You know, every one of you made a choice to show up this morning. And that was a free will choice. There's no punishment for not showing up. There's a reward for showing up if you're getting it, because there's a good energy on the line. And there's an experience of connecting our energies with the higher energies of the universe. That's what I think happens. It's all invisible. You know, we're all connecting with energies all the time. You know, if you're sensitive, you walk down the street, you feel energies. You walk into a room, you feel energies. You come home and you feel the energies of your partner, if you have one, or your children. And feeling energies can be good or bad. It's good to feel energies. It is good to feel energies, regardless of whether they're good or bad. It's learning how to feel energies that are difficult and not get trapped in them, to just let them blow through you. And then the energies that are good, to allow yourself to connect with them and feel supported. And that was the song I picked this morning, which I think I'm going to play now. Some of you probably remember it. I don't know how many of you actually listened to the words. But the words are really profound. One of the things I realized years ago was that, especially the, being a songwriter, I remember the process of writing a song was almost exactly the same as I was just describing, of starting in chaos and coming out with something that said, where did that come from? Because I would write a word on, or a sentence on a piece of paper. And I said, well, where's that going to go? And then another sentence, and another sentence. And I'm like, by the time it's finished, it's all in a flow. It's all working. And I said, how did I write that? I couldn't write that, because it was above the ability of my conscious mind to write it. And yet I wrote it. And it was the process of being in the now. You know, if you can enter into that process, then you can make miracles happen in your life, because you do something and you start out from chaos, and suddenly one thing leads to the next, to the next, to the next, and you have a manifestation. You have a job. But you have to get all of the other stuff out of your mind. So the song that I was, you know, I was reviewing songs for today, and I came up with the song Wind Beneath My Wings. And I'm just curious. Let's see.
All callers are unmuted.
Everybody remembers that song, right?
Absolutely.
No.
You never heard of
that? Bette Midler.
Bette Midler.
Bette Midler, right. And so, you remember the lyrics? Did you listen to the lyrics carefully when it was out?
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I thought the lyrics...
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
They kind of describe group energy in a beautiful way. And it tells the story. It sounds like somebody's writing it for their partner or for their lover or for their best friend. And the lyrics also work as if you're writing it for the Elohim or the Ra group, who have energies that we've learned can add to your energy. They can add to the energy of our call. And we don't do anything to make that happen. It just shows up. Of course, the Elohim has their famous description of how they interface with us, is that we start pedaling our bicycle, and they're like the chain that goes to the rear wheel. And we we have to take motion. We have to pedal at least so that they can add their energy to us and to what we're trying to accomplish. And, of course, when you do that, it looks like you're doing it. And everyone says, wow, look what you did. People think I do this or Terry does it. And the truth of the matter is, you guys are the wind beneath our wings. The Elohim is the wind beneath our wings. Terry is the wind beneath our wings. And it's like, if you're smart, when things start to happen, you don't let your ego get in the way, because when your ego comes in, you lose the breeze, okay? It's like the wind goes away because you're taking all the credit for it. Now, it doesn't mean you have to constantly say, thank you, Elohim, thank you, everybody, although we do thank you a lot, because this is what we're doing here is impossible without you guys. You guys are creating wind. And just by being here, just by putting your love on the line, that's a double entendre, putting your love on the line. But you are. You're putting your love here. And you've learned to do it and to trust it, and that it doesn't get abused. It gets honored and it becomes beloved. And we have our sources putting their love on the line. And we all become bigger than we think we are. We all are learning to have more potential. And I thought that it's so well put in that song, Wind Beneath My Wings. Yeah. Terry, did you ever hear that song?
I did. I heard that song before. I really liked that number.
You know, well, I got that song. Another song came right after it, which I thought was, which I never heard, but I thought it was beautiful. So let me play it.
All right.
So, can you feel it?
Yes.
We called them in with music. In the arms of an angel, let's let that energy right now just flow around us. And we're doing this together. We need each other. Sometimes I get into conversations with people, and they don't like me saying that. They would rather say, and this is also true, it's the duality of everything. Everything's inside you. And that's true. But where it falls short, where it becomes limited, is that the idea that there's an inside and an outside is an artificial construct, because it's all one. Everything is everything. So the problem is when you look outside of yourself, even though everything is one, there's a huge amount of factors outside of yourself that, even though they're in the oneness, they're designed to pull you outside of the oneness and to create a closed loop between them and you. And so when you move into that closed loop, you lose your ability to move above it, and you get stuck. And you get stuck inside a tiny portion of creation that is trapping you. And when you can move outside of yourself and bypass those traps, you then perceive that everything outside is everything inside. The Elohim, are they outside of you, or are they inside of you? Is there an outside and inside at that point? You can experience this energy that blows through you. And you see, what is a you? You are a temporary conglomeration. They call it a focusing point. A focusing point. That was one of the original ways they described a being, a focusing point. So you are a point of a body in the physical universe, and energy is coming to this body from all over. And it starts out where it's somewhat contained in what you could call your soul. But I don't think the soul has sharp edges. It's got fuzzy edges. So the soul is malleable. So we can move our souls on the other side. And we do it. I believe it's an explanation for what we experience on these calls. We move ourselves, souls, so our souls affiliate with each other. And that we become a temporary group soul on the call. And we feel a connection. And our souls affiliate with the Elohim group and the Ra group, and we become a temporary group soul of us and each other and them, and then we create intentions, and it becomes powerful. This is why at the lower levels, where you have the idea of saviors and messianic forces, it makes you think that there's a hierarchy, and that someone is at the top of the hierarchy. And in fact, it is just an illusion. There is no hierarchy. But again, when you buy into the hierarchy, then you have to pay homage to it. And then you can get caught in one of those traps where someone who you perceive is hierarchically above you starts to contain your energy because you allow it to occur. That's part of the deal. You allow it. Why do you allow it? Why do you allow something to contain your unlimited soul? Well, if I answer that question, probably one reason is fear. Somebody tells you, if you don't do thus, thus, and thus, you're going to go to hell. And you believe them. So now you have to do thus, thus, and thus. Or somebody tells you, if you don't do what I say, I'm going to throw you on the street. And now you have fear, and you have to do thus, thus, and thus. Or somebody says, I'm going to fire you. You have to do what I say. How do you deal with that? Well, you know, Jesus said, give to Caesar that which is Caesar's, and give to God that which is for God. And when I was younger, I used to be just terrible with authority figures. Terrible. I mean, I felt like if anyone had authority, that I was trapped. And I was a rebel. And as I got a little more wisdom, I got to learn that in this realm, there was authority. And that you couldn't escape the fact that there was authority in this realm. And there were domains in this realm. And when you're in a domain, you have to honor the authority of that domain. And the key is to be able to honor the authority without getting trapped by it. And what do I mean by the authority in a domain? Well, you live in a city. The city has a government. The city has a police force. The city has laws. The police enforce those laws. If you speed down a city street, you get a ticket. If you rob a store, you get thrown in jail. If you do certain substances, you get arrested if they catch you. If you don't pay your taxes, that's the authority of the government, you get in trouble. And one of the things of getting wise is learning how to cope with authority and not get trapped by it. I mean, authority is a necessary, I won't call it evil, I'll say it's a necessary function of the physical universe. Like, you have a house, or a home, or an apartment, or a room you live in. And you have authority. That's your domain. If your plumber comes in to fix the toilet, and suddenly he walks around and opens your refrigerator and says, what's for lunch? Or does anything in your domain, he's violating your authority. If you gave him permission, it's fine. But if he just does it, it's not. When you're in someone else's domain, you have to honor their authority. And I think one of the keys to doing all of this without getting trapped is not have any residual obligation. Make everything very clear and complete in the moment. What do I mean by that? Residual obligations. Well, if you got a job, do your job 100%, 110%. And then you got paid and you exchanged the pay you got for the work you did. And when you're done, it's clear. Don't leave anything residual. Don't leave work undone. If you have a partnership or a relationship, you know, if you have a spiritual connection, there's more flexibility because you still, even in a spiritual connection, there's still give and take. There is. But there's more flexibility because the care extends beyond what somebody's just getting from you. If it's all about what somebody's getting from you, it's not spiritual, or you're getting from them. And that's not to make it wrong. It's not easy to be in this realm and make every relationship spiritual. Like, there's relationships of obligation. And you do this and I do that. You live in an apartment, you pay rent. And then there's relationships which go beyond that. You could call them relationships of grace. And if you start establishing relationships of grace, then there's far more energy in those relationships, that there's more love, there's more motivation, there's more presence. You know, we had a whole talk to the Elohim about grace 2 months ago. Now, I'm using grace in somewhat of a worldly sense, not exactly worldly, but the Elohim talk about grace, and they say it's actually part of their group. And what does that mean, that grace is part of their group? How does that work? Well, when we think of the Elohim, they're not an individual soul. They are a conglomerate, a group. And why are the energies at the top of the universe conglomerates rather than individuals? Why is God not the traditional way people have been taught to think about God, like one individual consciousness that can do anything, that's omniscient and omnipresent, et cetera, et cetera? Why is God a group? Well, we're part of God, so we're part of a group. The reason the Elohim is a group is just the same reason we're a group. because a group is more powerful. A group can create intentions that are much more powerful because it's a group intention. And those of you that are on this call regularly have watched many of the times when we've created group intentions and something has shifted on the planet in a profound way. And you're getting the feel of how it works. The group energy is very important. And that's why the Elohim is a group. That's why Ra is a group. It's because they're not globbed together. They're not like glued to each other. There's all these individual souls that comprise the group energy. And that, unlike us, who we have to worry about survival and paying the bills and all the mundane tasks of day-to-day life, they don't. If we're to believe the way they describe themselves, they're not in bodies. They're energies. Imagine being an energy, and that as you create a thought, that energy can move, can do things. It can move into the universe. It could change things at an atomic level because you built the universe. So you have the backdoor program to the universe. And then you have grace. You have the high level of the Elohim that can flow into the universe and can shift and change things to help us. And we've seen that work. And I've observed carefully the criteria by which grace works, because it's kind of amazing. It's an amazing consciousness to draw on. And from the Elohim's point of view, the universe is a bunch of free-willing consciousnesses, free-will consciousnesses, constantly creating itself, recreating itself, creating its futures, creating its interactions, creating whatever it creates. And the Elohim doesn't violate the free will of all these consciousnesses that are creating moment by moment the universe and the local aspects of the universe. So their criteria is somebody has to ask for their participation to help. Otherwise, it would be an infringement of their free will. And in many cases, people don't even know there's something to ask. They don't know it. And I think part of our work is to prove that there really is something out there that can hear us ask. I mean, I'm sure many of you read my books and listened to our calls where we've gone into so much detail and so much stuff, and getting the perception of the feeling for how this works, and that how could I have all these experiences that I've had? How can all this stuff shift around this work? What's the explanation? And the best explanation is the explanation that I just said, that there are energies at the highest level of the universe, and that the universe is recreating itself moment by moment, and that we're part of that recreation. They're part of that recreation. And when we affiliate with them, we become a group energy with them, and we can draw on their strength and power. And we can work at our human level, recreation of this realm in a positive way. And we can invoke that part of the Elohim, which is grace, which can move right into the space and make things shift. And of course, that is what we do every Sunday. Every Sunday, we call it a personal and planetary healing session, and we move into the group energy of us and them, and we look for ways to transform things in a positive manner, which, when it happens, can look like a miracle. Now, the Elohim do not want to be the, how can I say it? The, I can't think of the word, the miracle makers. In other words, call on them and say, do this, do that, do this. After a while, you know, they would be like following us. They would lose their free will, and they'd say, well, whatever Wynn says, we got to do it. Do a miracle for Wynn or for Hise or for whoever. And then it would lose the momentum. So from my observation, when they do something, often it looks like, did they really do that? Or would it have happened anyway? Now, that's something everybody has to decide. But some of the things that have happened are just too far out to think that it would have happened anyway.
You know, one of the things is when they do something that looks like a miracle, to them, it's not really a miracle. It is getting the agreement. They actually work with all the factors involved and get the agreement of all of the makeup, all of the things making up, all the consciousness is making up the substance that goes and changes into a different outcome and gets their agreement to change. So it's got a foundation, but you can't just ordinarily look at it and see, okay, well, all of those things went together to create the change. But they're able to work with all the components and get components agreement, free will agreement to change. And if they can't get the components agreement to change, the thing won't change.
You know, I think from their point of view, it would be like, imagine you were them. And imagine you had that ability. And people would be asking, could you do this? Could you do that? Could you do this? Could you do that? And, you know, put yourself in your human side. How many of you like it when people are codependent on you, saying, could you do this for me? Could you do that for me? Could you do this for me? And, you know, you get one, it's usually too much. And you get 20, and it's like, wait, all that's happening is my phone's ringing. People are always needing to do things for them. You know, then it becomes a trap. And you think you're being a nice guy, but suddenly you're not coming from your deepest center. You're coming to try to please everybody. And so imagine you're the Elohim, and people are saying, do this, do that. We want this. We want that. Do this. Do that, do this, It's like, you know, they have consciousness. They're real. They're real. They exist. They exist. They think. They feel. They observe. They have feelings. They have compassion. And so they're looking at where the energy flows. Because when the energy is flowing, they can just do a little tweak and something shifts. And there's gratitude. And the universe is evolving as a result. I think one of their bottom lines is the universe evolving as to what they're doing? Or is it not evolving? Are they just trying to please somebody? And I think whatever they can perceive, the universe is evolving, they do something. And so oftentimes, it's a mystery. It's like, did they really do it or not? What if it happened anyway? And they can be funny in the way they create mystery. because like, I remember early on, in the middle of the night, this was years ago, suddenly my computer printers woke me up in the middle of the night, and it printed out a Ra channeling from the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And there was absolutely no reason for it to do that. How could it have done that? There's a guy in our group who was visiting us a few weeks ago. He just got married, and he was driving from Flagstaff to Sedona. Flagstaff's about 30 miles to Sedona, and you have to go on this mountainy, beautiful drive to, you know, on that route. And he decided he was going to put his camera, his video, out the window while he was driving, and he looked at it later, and he found a blue orb was following him, was in the picture, following him for about 20 miles on this mountainy road. And now, I don't know if this was true in his case, but there have been times when there have been blue orbs, turquoise, beautiful turquoise blue orbs in pictures on me, like one where it's on my elbow. And when I did a channeling with Terry, and I asked them, where did that blue orb come from? And they said it was part of the Ra group. An individual from the Ra group was paying attention. And so was this, I didn't ask the question, so I don't know for sure, but I wouldn't be a bit surprised if this blue orb was part of the Ra group, kind of just creating a protective energy for this person while they were driving. And in fact, they told me they needed a protective energy because there was a big rock on the road that they almost hit, and somehow they missed it, okay? And they were giving credit to external sources for helping them. But this kind of phenomena exists all the time, and it's always going to look like a mystery. So watch for it in your life. Watch for signals. Watch for phenomena. And don't give up your power to it. Remember, as soon as you give up your power, you can easily get to something negative coming in that'll look positive. And so watch for the phenomena and just have gratitude when you get it. Say, okay, guys, thank you, and let it go. And that helps keep it going. Whereas if you suddenly say, okay, tell me what to do next, tell me what to do next, tell me what to do next, you're giving up your power and you can screw it up, okay? And they do not want you to give up your power. They do not want you to worship them. They want to be your friends. It's like having an interdimensional friend, like having the wind beneath your wings. Just imagine, you can just run that as an image, the wind beneath your wings. When you get up in a given day, say, hey, I'm open to you guys energizing me. And just put that thought out to the universe and see if you can't get some response to action. When you're making a phone call, a critical phone call, say, hey, I'd like your energy with me when I make this call. And see if you can get this feeling that you have these friends that will work with you. And that with their help, you're going to make your life better and you're going to make the world a better place. And when I say with their help, it's their help combined with your help. In other words, it's the law of one. In the highest level, they're part of you, and you're part of them. And so when parts of the universe start collaborating with each other at a high level, the universe evolves. And that's not so easy to do, because the potential has always been there, and humans have always screwed it up. And one of the reasons they screw it up is because they have been trained to screw it up, because the lower negative forces don't want this collaboration occurring. They want a closed loop. They want you to give them their energy, your energy. And they want to hold your energy in check. And they have a huge amount of control in this realm. And they have manipulated this realm so that a good portion of people do it, give up their power to them, and lose the connection to the potential for the co-creation with the higher forces. So you have to pay close attention to this. And if you're giving up your power, notice that you're doing that at least. Notice it and just say, how can I do this without giving up my power? All right? And how do I make this affiliation with the Elohim and the Ra group? And how do I get their energies working with me? And we're going to move into the healing part of our call. And I think I'm going
to... I have a comment here. Sometimes when Wynn calls in the light, and I'm taking pictures of him before he called it in and after he called it in, you can see the pink from the Elohim group around him after the lights called in. One time he called in the light in Philadelphia near one of the main buildings in Philadelphia, and took a picture, and you could see this huge pink bubble surrounding the building. I thought that was absolutely beautiful.
No, I think the camera was just playing tricks on us.
But do you take a picture before and have your sweater be totally white, call in the light and pick the same picture, same angle, everything, and to have your sweater be all pink. It's like there's some other factor here.
Yeah, that was kind of amazing. Some of you may have seen some pictures. I don't like to put those... I put those pictures out sometimes. But I'm afraid people will elevate me if they see those pictures. But it's it's very amazing. Because I had to take this publicity picture and this for a radio show I was going to be on. And the woman said, could you take a picture without your glasses? And Terry took a picture, and I looked at the picture. I looked at the camera immediately thereafter, and I said, I don't like the expression on my face. Let's take another picture. And I took my, we called in the light for the second picture. And she took the picture, and I looked at it quickly, and I said, I still don't like the my expression. And so a little bit later, a few weeks later, I was scrolling through the pictures in my camera, and I saw these two pictures. And the second one, there was this pink glow all over my chest. And I asked them, I said, could you explain that? And they said, well, that was us, that when we project into your realm and we connect with the human energy field, it creates pink. Now, I don't see pink. Some people have that are on these calls have emailed me and they said they see pink. Then there was another guy that was on the call, and he had a real player on the screen. It was on a Sunday call. And he felt all this energy on the call, and he was sitting there watching his screen, and the real player changed from black to pink. And he sent me a snip of that, and it was kind of amazing. And these are the ways they do things. And just imagine if we had 1 million people calling on the Elohim, or God, or, you know, it doesn't matter. It's like they don't care what you call them. But they're not God in any way, shape, or traditional sense. I'm going to play one more song, and then we're going to move into our personal and planetary healing session. Here we go. Got your computer out. We're going to do this just like we do it. Maps.google.com. And it should open up to a map of maybe 2 miles wide, 2 or 3 miles wide of your area. And you can look for your home, and you can move the map. Just push the left mouse button and then the slider or the mouse or whatever way you move your cursor around the screen and move your where your location is to the center of the screen. And then in the lower left of Google Maps, push the button that says satellite. It's a little square. And instead of seeing a map, you will see a satellite view looking down on that same area. And then go on the right side of the screen and push the zoom button until you see the rooms of the home and move the map till your home is in the center. And just for the record, you can also put your address in the upper left-hand corner where it says search Google Maps. And it'll just automatically zoom right in on your house. In fact, it'll even have a picture of your house on the lower part of the screen. So look at your roof. You can quickly look at your picture. We have a picture here. And when I look at our picture, I see Terry's car in the driveway. And I see the front of the house and the front door. And I'm going to go back to the satellite view and look at the roof of the house. And I'm going to look where I am in the house from the roof point of view. And I'm going to maybe put my arrow, my cursor, right over where I am. And we're going to see the forces of the universe, the Elohim, the Ra group, any angels, anyone operating and honoring the law of one that wants to join in with you at this moment. And we see them moving through the roof and surrounding your body, wherever you are in your home. We invite Jesus to participate in this as well, to be paying attention and work with us. And if you can feel this energy, or you can make pretend it's there. If you're not feeling it, many of you are feeling it. I've gotten loads of emails from people who can feel it. And see the energy surrounding your body, like your body is in a bubble of love. And then let the energy move through your body, into your body. And you can visualize it coming down from the top of your head, down to right to your toes, through your heart. And you can move it. You can tell it where to go. So if you have a trouble spot, if you have an achy spot, let that energy move to that spot. And if you feel stuck, let this energy move around the stuckness and let the stuckness dissolve into it. You can just use your imagination and see that happening. And if you need a healing, put this energy around the part of your body that needs healing. And if you have negative things in your environment, let this energy expand outside of you and flow into and around whatever is negative. You can see it move through your house. And around the people in your house. Remember, there's free will. You can't force somebody in your house to change. But you can send them good energy. And many people will respond to that, even if they don't understand it. And now, remember, you are just a body that's attached to this huge energy. And you have all this support system around you. And you can send this energy to people you care about. Think of who you want to send the energy to and surround them with the energy. Your parents, your children, your friends, and we're looking at our healing list. You know, in the email we sent out this morning, which we send out before each of these Sunday calls, there are the links on how to get on this healing list. Now, you don't have to be on it. You can just be thinking it. But for some people, it helps to ground the energy to put their name on the list. So we have here Terry in Roselle, New Jersey, is sending healing energy to Milda, who lives in Robbinsville, New Jersey. Thank you. And then we have Edna in Washington, putting healing and protection for myself and the development of my chakras into the light. Thank you, and love to our sources. Deb in Oregon, healing for my brain memory. I had a traumatic event that happened 25 years ago. I lost a lot of memory and had to relearn many things. Would like some input about what happened to my brain memory. And Deb, ask that on a Wednesday. Put a question in on that and let's see what they say. Bye in Corona, California. Love light to family and friends on the other side. Blessings to my son Alan in Phoenix. Evan and his dad. Brother David, Jackie, Brian, Travis, Ryan, Ron, who passed recently, and to his daughter, Rhonda, who missed him. Gratitude to Lynn and Terry for bringing us together. Love, light, and healing for Mother Earth and all her inhabitants. Love, light, and gratitude to the one infinite creator and our sources who are always with us. And highs in Megalia. Our friend Bill Lindberger, who lives in paradise, is on a vacation trip in Vietnam, developed severe pneumonia, now in ICU in a hospital in Saigon. Please provide him, his recovery, and his wife lots of love. Thank you. Michael in Camino, continuing to put his friend Howard in the light in Nevada for health and healing, and my friend Rainer, who lives in Colorado, into the light. Thank you for your help thus far. Lise in Arizona. Physical healing of new viral bacterial infection for myself and my daughter. The ability for our body's immune system to easily adapt and change in ways which enable us to defend ourselves from allergens, viral bacteria, fungi, parasites, and other infections. And for my daughter to get a safe working used car, ASAP. Thank you. Liz in Memphis, Tennessee. Healing energies directed at my early onset dementia. Thank you. I'm Chris's grandmother. Okay. Donna in Ventura. Healing of my light worker team. May they find peace and blessings in this work. Placing my children in the light with blessings along their path. Roger's mild autism into the light, which can cause him to feel unworthy of love. May he be blessed and open his heart to unconditional love. I place Wynn, Terry, and Dr. Friedman and this work into the light, along with all the people on this call and the replays. Carolyn in Amherst, Ohio. She just puts her personal issues and job in the light. Jim in Woodstock, Ontario. Peace for Gordon Hicks, 76 of Toronto, as he deals with lower tummy cancer and feels it is time to go to his new home in the sky. Blessings be. Jim in Ontario. Wellness and prayers for Marlene Koopman, the full recovery from recent major heart bypass surgery. And she's in Plattsville, Ontario, Canada. And Mike in Marina Del Rey. Please put Mark Schwartz in the love light and ask for help to be given him to help with healing and transition. He passed over a couple of days ago after a long suffering from a terrible disease. I would also like to put his mother, brother, and his friends and loved ones in the light who are grieving his death and the circumstances surrounding it. Thank you. And I think we got these last week. Hi, Roger, Michael, Bonnie Penners again. Okay. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of light. Surround and protect Terry and myself. Any negativity, be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted to the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxy, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy field of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. Right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources, which are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And I turn it over to our sources to address us through Terry.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We take a moment and we refocus to tune in and bring into our wide scope of view the people that you have put in the light. Whether you have put them in the light online or whether you are putting them in line in your heart, we take a moment and we tune in to Bill. We see a big congestion and we ask it be dissolved and cleared, and his lungs be cleared so that he may recover and go home. We take a moment to focus our attention and let him know we bring help. We, at the same time as we are non-linear beings, we focus upon Howard and bring healing, a burst of healing energy to his skin and the areas below his skin and his neural connective pathways. We focus upon Rainier for healing. We bring love light to all of the group that Bonnie has put into the light. And we sense much joy within the group, whether they are on this side or whether they have passed. The joy of bonding and the joy of connection. We bring love light to Edna for the development of her chakras, for the refreshing of her chakra energy, that it may be able to be utilized in a fine-tuned manner to connect her with her surroundings. She has already made a lot of progress in this area. We widen our focus to the world, and we put attention on differences and the needs of those people to express their differences and yet to get along as one family in the family of man in the world, all of the differences. And we, as we do this, work with individuals who need relief from their tensions and solace for their seemed isolation and lack of understanding between themselves and other groups. We send love light to Deb and for healing, for the reconnection of neural synapse and the flashing as the energy, the flashing of energy as neural synapse reconnect. We are joyful at the connection of each and every person that is on this line, as it is making a connection with the higher realms and the realms that you are in, increasing the love light, the potential for energy that is available for healing for the whole world complex. We send the light to Lise, their daughter, for the right car for healing for, of the any infections. And we give a burst of energy that brings them over the top toward healing. We send love light to Chris for healing of his liver, for the cessation of his hepatitis C, for any factors that are bringing him into less optimum physical condition. We send love light to Donna for healing and for her children and for Roger. We thank each and every one of you. We are connecting. It is like the bringing of the focus into a wider range that brings other possibilities into the healing and the connection for peace within the human complex, within the abilities, a wider range of choices, that energy which is so important. Without the energy which can be fueled by passion, things do not progress forward. when one is stuck in the conundrum of this and that, the belief and non-belief, the belief that one cannot progress, stuck with the belief that one must connect, when one can step out of that and experience the energy of the connection, of the potential, of the possibility for advancement, it is the first step towards advancement. We thank you for this opportunity to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's go back to Google Maps, okay? And I'm going to type in and search Earth. Planet. Okay, just go into the minus and plus thing in the lower right and just keep minusing it out, okay? And you will get to see the entire country of the United States. And if you move the map, you'll start to see Asia and Canada and Europe . We're going to just center the map of the Pacific Ocean. And we're going to, just as we're bringing the light through our roof into our home, we're going to bring this energy to our entire planet. We can see it surrounding the planet. We can see he's got the whole world in his hands, that kind of image. And we'll just hold the energy of this love light surrounding planet Earth. Some of you might notice a band of energy around the top of your head and your third eye and your temples. If you do, that's one sign of making a connection. And we're doing this as a team, and if you put your hands facing outwards away from your body, and you just imagine everyone on this call doing the same thing, then we can connect with each other through our hands. We can feel the energy. And it's part of another way of surrounding our planet in this light energy. Lifting the vibration of the planet. You know, the more the planet is uplifted, the more people smile at each other every day. It's contagious. even when they don't know what's striking them. We're working on the template energy, the collective consciousness of planet Earth. And we look back at Google Maps, and we're centered on the Pacific Ocean, and we can start off in the south of the Pacific, starting with New Zealand. And we're going to move around the Ring of Fire. You've been telling me that a lot of earthquakes that were for this area have been, instead of having a big earthquake, have come out in swarms. And a lot of, which is what we ask for every time. So if we start in the lower left-hand southeast side of Google Maps, we will be in New Zealand, Christchurch. I believe there was just recently a small earthquake in New Zealand. And just remember, we can't eliminate, but we can help reduce their damage. The Earth has to release energy, and this is the way she does it. Thank you, Earth, for cooperating. Gratitude to you. And we go into Australia and follow north. There's a bunch of islands on the right, Solomon, New Caledonia. We move up to New Guinea. And Indonesia. And Philippines. And to the left of the Philippines is Vietnam and Cambodia. And when you look at the map, see your energy go through the land into the space underneath the land where the tectonic fault lines are. And see the energy surrounding those fault lines. There's islands on the right side of the screen, Guam, Taiwan. And we keep moving north. We're into China on the left. We can see the Guangdong city and Fujian city. And as we move up, we go to North Korea and South Korea. This in particular, send energy to North Korea. As everyone knows, it's one of those trouble spots. It's one of those places where the leader makes all kinds of threats to the world. And let's just send harmony to that planet for the highest good. And then we go over to Japan, and we see the whole island of Japan surrounded in love light and balancing of earthquakes away from population centers, and small releases. And we can go into search Google Maps and type in Fukushima. And it comes up as Fukushima. I think I want to put Fukushima. Hang on. I do this every Sunday. Fukushima nuclear. Daiichi nuclear power station. And we come looking right down on that new that is leaking radiation by huge amounts into the Pacific. And I want you to look down on that map, and I want you to imagine that the radiation is being transmuted. And now I'm going to go to the minus, plus and minus on the lower right, zooming out. And we are going to continue up from Japan into Russia, the east coast of Russia. We can just track the coast in our mind's eye. Just imagine you're sending your energy to the coast, and the Elohim is sending energy right behind you, backing it up. And we go across to Alaska, crossing over the Bering, I think it's called the Bering Straits. And we get to the west coast of Canada, the south coast of Alaska, the west coast of Canada, and go along with Canada through Vancouver. And if you happen to live in one of these areas, you can let the energy move through your body, through the floor, and into the earth directly. We move into the United States and Washington and Seattle and Mount Rainier, and we keep going right to Yellowstone National Park. And balance of any potential volcanoes in those areas. Go from Washington south to Oregon, and we go to Mount Hood in Oregon and ask for balance regarding volcanoes. We go south the coast of Oregon to California, south the west coast of California, Mendocino, all the way down through Mount Shasta area, Marin County, Mill Valley, Vinson Beach, Sausalito, across the Golden Gate Bridge into San Francisco, and across the Bay Bridge into Berkeley and Oakland, and all the Bay Area cities, Concord, and just ask for balancing of earthquakes. And we go from down San Francisco to South San Francisco to Silicon Valley, through Monterey, Carmel, down to Ventura, Santa Barbara, Los Angeles, all the environs around Los Angeles, including Pomona, and Pasadena and all the many, many cities that surround the suburbs of Los Angeles. We can go down from Los Angeles through Orange County, through San Diego, down through Mexico and Baja California, down through Guatemala, Central America, Guatemala, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, and Panama, and across the Panama Canal. Take a look at the area. Just send love light energy into that space and through the earth. We go to Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, Chile, we also ask for gentle rain in the California area and anywhere else that's having drought. And we ask for balancing of any other earthquake potential in these areas. In the United States, we can go to St. Louis, the New Madrid Fault, the Mid-Atlantic Fault, and anywhere on our planet that there's potential earthquakes. Okay. Let's go to Syria, one of the world trouble spots. And it opens up on Syria. If you don't know where Syria is, you can zoom out and you'll see that Syria is bordered by Lebanon, Turkey, and Iraq. And over to the left is the island of Cyprus. Let's just send love light down on Syria. And the idea of peace and coexistence between Muslims and Christians and mutual respect. And we can zoom out from there and we can see the entire Middle East area. South of Syria is Lebanon, Jordan, Israel. And to the left of Israel is Egypt, Libya, Sudan. And let's send light. We have some people in Israel that sometimes listen to us that are about an hour from Syria. So if you're on the line today, Carol, we are riding above you. We ask for peace. We ask for coexistence. We ask for tolerance. We ask for compassion to Palestinians. And let's go to where we type in location, and let's put in Ukraine. You see the satellite view of Ukraine. And busting in on it. And we just send the light to this entire country for peace. And let's zoom out again. Zoom, zoom, zoom. We see the view of the world. We ask for interventions. We ask no nuclear weapons be allowed to go off. We ask that anything toxic to health, to well-being, to clear thinking in our environments is transmuted from chemtrails to HARP to GMOs in food to weird frequencies. We work around all the negative agendas on our planet, and we send the principle of peace, coexistence, brotherhood, the law of one. We tune into all the wanderers and star seeds on our planet. We make connections with them. We give them support. We invite them into our energies. We send the light to the Conscious Life Expo in Los Angeles, which is a conglomerate source of light workers. It's happening right now. And the UFO Congress in Phoenix, which is happening right now. Last year, we were there. Terry and I were there. This year, we're not.